The Keep It To Yourself podcast is recorded on the ancestral land of the Mohican tribe.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hey, man!
Welcome to episode number 186 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast, the most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes. Would you like smoking or non? I'll take the latter. My name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullitt.
The regulator, innovator, dominator, creator, a theta, pussy, imitator, assassinator, baby.
I demand the hour, the man with the power, too sweet to be sour.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
I'm your friend.
That's right, it's me, Smokey Bear.
Gosh, what a neat guy.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Baby, baby.
And I'm coming to you once again from the rolling hills of Saratoga County, New York, which earlier this week had skies that weren't blue or overcast or anything like that. I'll tell you why in the body of this episode. And it's going to dovetail nicely into the subject of this episode as well. You'll find in the title, and I might have spoiled it right there if you looked at it. But it's one of those things where it does what it says on the can. All right, I'm going to get to the social media before I get canned myself. You can follow me on Instagram at Keep It To Yourself Podcast. There's the Facebook page and also the world's loneliest email, KITYpod@gmail.com. So that's it right there. Well, I mentioned just seconds ago that the skies here in my neck of the woods were anything but blue or overcast or gray or anything like that. And that's because we had some wildfires up in Canada. They're still burning as of time of recording, but they're trying to get some kind of handle on it. There's some rain showers up there. And our governor, Kathy Hochul, announced that she was going to send some forest rangers up to the remote parts of Quebec and Ontario, wherever, to help out with fighting the blaze. There's going to be some federal, you know, help coming up that way. And it had a real effect on what our skies look like. And we had some poor air quality around here, so much so that my nephew didn't get to play baseball for a whole week, and we're nearing the end of the season. Hopefully, things will get better. You know, I thought on Tuesday that it was going to be postponed because of some storms that we got coming around the area. We did not lose electricity, thank goodness, but there was some sizable hail, not too much where it did some damage to the house or anything like that. But it came down like nobody's business. Whoo boy, it didn't cause any floods. But then again, with the way the skies were, the floods would have been the least of the problems. And if you thought the air quality here in the rolling hills was bad, New York City, whoo boy, yikes. It looked like something out of a post-apocalyptic thriller. Gee whiz, at one time, they had the worst pollution of any city or any place in the world, let alone the United States of America. Seeing those pictures on the news was, oh boy, it was shocking and disheartening both at the same time. And it dovetails nicely into what we're going to be talking about, and that is how those on the spectrum deal with climate change, or at least their connection between the two, however incongruous it might be. But it's a relevant topic given what we've been going through the last few days. So we'll get to that very, very shortly. In fact, I was going to talk about a meetup I was going to have day of recording, but 2 days earlier, this is going to drop early next week, by the way. Well, thanks for the reminder there, bud. Okay, well, get out of here. I hope you choked on some of that. Oh, will you stop with that? Jeez. Give some people lunch, they take a mile or force their way back in like him. Where was I? Oh, yeah, well, this French language meetup. We were going to have this event somewhere here in Saratoga County, but 2 days ago, as of time of recording, the organizer went on a meetup and said, we're going to cancel. We want to make sure the attendees, we're looking after the health and safety of them, and so we're going to postpone it. So it'll be next month I have this meetup. I had that in my notes, and then when I found it was canceled, I immediately did the right thing and just deleted it from the notes. So it was kind of a rough go of it. I wore a mask when I went outside to get the mail, and I wasn't out there for very long. So it was up to me whether to do it, but it was advised that I do something like that. Well, this was the start of the vanity portion mixed with in the news. Now, if you don't think climate change is real, Boy, you hear what I have to say, mixed up words and all, and slight pauses and halting speech? This ought to convince you, especially if you're here in the Northeast and New England and all that. But thankfully, everything cleared out, and it was looking real nice. Even the sun came out for the first time in a while back on Friday. All right, now we get to the vanity portion, the good stuff, by comparison. Yours truly is a bit of a bibliophile, so I was really surprised and happy that my local public library was holding their semi-annual used book sale. Well, they hold it twice a year, last weekend in January, and now here we are, first weekend of June, so no better way to kick off the summer after the Memorial Day weekend. And I found out on Sunday, they have this sale where you bring in a bag, you can put all the books in there, as many as you can fit, and you only have to pay $1. That's it. So talk about bang for your buck right there. Well, I get to the library, pull in the parking lot, right about the time they're going to open. There's already this gaggle of people waiting to come in. And went upstairs, got in there, and just looked for the books. I mean, these used book sales, like, you know, catch as catch can. You know, it's your mileage may vary, lower your expectations, or manage them, really. But I got some interesting books, got some. For some reason, old Aspie brain was at it again. You thought I was doing it with cooking s'mores at the Memorial Day cookout the week before. I didn't find out till later on that I had gotten two editions of Webster's Thesaurus. Not Roget's Thesaurus, the Merriam-Webster edition. And then I had to go get one of those free books they have in the counter right past the entrance. And I put it in the bag that they gave me. Tore a hole in the side. I'm thankful no books bailed out then, but I had to recycle the bag because it was pretty much useless by my own stupidity. So there it was right there. So just put them in another bag that I had originally intended to put in. I put it in the other bag, and that was it. Got them in the bookcase upstairs here at Bullet House. Well, speaking of headaches, hassles, and horse manure, we're going to do the next day here. Now, before the book sale, I wanted to go to this bottle return place because since the Sunday before Thanksgiving, they wound up announcing that we're going to have convenient Sunday hours. They only be open from 9 until 1. So I figured, all right, well, I'm going to be out and about anyway. I'll just make a little stop there. Well, wouldn't you know, there was one person waiting literally outside the door, and he had what appeared to be 3, 4, maybe 5 bags at the most right in front of him as he was waiting to go in and transact business. One look at that, I was like Brian Arakpo. So I made the decision to come back the next day after I was done with work. Well, Monday afternoon comes. I hop in the car after I log off work, drive back to the bottle return place, open the door. I'm like, oh, there's nobody here. Well, Monday's a light day for bottle return. You know, people want to do it over the weekend. I certainly can't blame them. I go inside. There's 2 customers in front of me, and the machines have already stopped. I was like, what the world? And it was just like fits and starts. And just as soon, we never went like more than 30 seconds to a minute before things, you know, went kablooey, stopped again. They had to go in and fix it. Well, this happened twice. The couple in front of me had like $10, $11. They had quite the haul for bottle returns. I was like, ah, the hell with it. Thankfully, there was a supermarket right across the road. So I went there. They would not take bottles from this small supermarket. Not a sponsor, I'll go nameless. So again, I was like,
come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
So I had to be flexible again, and I decided to take care of the bottles that I was able to get 5 cents on and save the rest for another trip to the bottle return place or this other supermarket. Well, 2 days later, I battled through the light smoke and whatnot to go grocery shopping. And I said, before I got my week's shopping, I would go use this rickety old bottle return place, a little machine there, rather. And I was just feeding them in there, but sometimes having trouble there. It just said, you know, can't read the barcode, try putting in bottom first, which I was doing all along. And I'm just going, glunk, glunk, that little thing there at the bottom where the rejects go. It was a real hassle. I finally cried uncle and tapped out, pressed the button, got a receipt for 60 cents, and I forgot to use it to pay off part of my grocery or defray the cost thereof. So I'm just waiting for another whack at it with the bottle return. Hopefully we'll get all this squared away ere long. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been the vanity portion, and I let off with the in the news type segment because we're going to discuss climate change and its effects on those on the autism spectrum, or at least the link between ASD and CC. So we'll get right to it without any further ado. All right, folks, we've made it to the main topic of this episode, and that is inspired by the events of this past week as I record this. Those wildfires that happened up in Canada, but more importantly, if we could zoom out and take the 1,000-yard view, the effects of climate change. And of course, as they pertain to those of us on the autism spectrum. Now, I'm not going to break down the whole thing about climate change, what's been causing it, and all that, and if we're doing anything about it. I'm going to say those answers respectively. I'll leave those to other people you already know. And second is, not enough, I'm afraid. So I'm coming at this argument from a rather unique angle. But then again, you could say that for most of what I talk about on this podcast, especially in recent times. Now, we're going to start out with an article I found from Rutgers University, and they discuss how climate change affects autism, immune response, and allergies in reverse order of what was written in the headline. Now, the second to last question here they ask, and by the way, I'm going to post the links to all these articles in the show notes so you can read them for yourself. The second to last question on here says, could disturbances in gut bacteria affect the autism rate? And the person who wrote this, a woman by the name of Patty Verbanis, this was written in August of 2020, right during COVID. She asked, could disturbances in gut bacteria affect the autism rate? And she wrote, and her words not mine, disruption of gut bacteria has been linked to neurologic diseases such as multiple sclerosis, autism, and Parkinson's disease. In my own research, and by that I mean hers, I found abnormal amino acid metabolism, increased imbalance between free radicals and antioxidants in the body, and altered gut microbiomes among some patients with autism spectrum disorder. Now, the last question here says, what steps can be taken to minimize the health risk brought on by climate change? And she writes, we must end the destruction of our natural environment. I know I wasn't going to go there, but somehow I got led down the road anyway. We must end the destruction of our natural environment, decrease emissions of greenhouse gases, and adopt more green behavior. That means be more eco-friendly. We'll get into that shortly. With research demonstrating links between the microbiome and autoimmune, inflammatory, and neurologic diseases, it is critical that we minimize antimicrobial exposure. This may involve altering guidelines for the prescription of antibiotics by medical professionals. In addition, given that the microbiome is directly impacted by our daily environment, it is important to regularly immerse ourselves in nature and familiarize ourselves with our biodiverse surroundings. I've been doing a good deal of that in recent times, especially it's summer and you know, want to be out more than anybody else, or more often than I am, well, the rest of the year. Well, we're going to get to the second one here, and this is from the UK. It's called Ambitious About Autism. And there is a young woman. This was written fairly recently. A young woman named Vera. This is not the same person who was in that Rutgers article I read you just minutes ago. And she, I'm going to try and Cliff's Notes this whole thing, as is my custom. Her thesis statement says, the climate and environmental crises are a huge threat to humanity. You don't say. Autistic young people, myself included, are more likely to experience severe eco-anxiety, extreme worry about current and future harm to the environment caused by human activity and climate change. However, we are also more likely to get involved and make impactful changes. So, a little doom and gloom, some hard facts, a hard truth, to quote Ben Affleck's dad in The Town. But there's some hope, and she's going to explain her little part and what she's doing to try and, well, not completely reverse the effects of climate change, but try and lessen the blow. Well, first off, she explains how climate change impacts her as an autistic young person. There is a lot of emphasis on individuals to reduce, reuse, and recycle. This is called individual responsibility. As a person on the autism spectrum, by the way, I'm using first-person language, so I'm editing the text as I go along here, just so you're aware. All right, we continue. As a person with autism, I often feel guilty for not doing the right, in air quotes, thing, and used to pressure myself to always act in an eco-friendly way. But things are never black and white, and there's no correct answer. She's proving a point here, man. You know, we want to be eco-friendly, but there's no royal road. There's no manual on how to do it. There's no real way to get onto that whole thing there with, you know, being green and all that. I also failed to adapt to my needs, she goes on. For example, I became vegetarian, but really struggled as executive function makes planning meals hard, and sensory sensitivity meant I then had no options when eating out. Well, I don't know if I could speak to any of that directly, but I'm glad that there are gluten-free and vegan options at many restaurants, be they mom and pops or especially the chain restaurants, none of whom are sponsors. But I once bragged I was a flexitarian. I mean, if vegan options are available on a restaurant menu, I'll certainly go for those. Or if there's gluten-free options, I'll swap the regular options out for, in favor of those. And I tried to do my bit as much as I could. You know, me working from home, that means I'm on the road less. I'm burning less gas, putting less carbon dioxide or whatever that is in, up in the air. So reducing my carbon footprint as best I can. Try to be responsible with how I heat the house in the wintertime or this time of year, put on the AC versus, say, opening a window. All right, so Vera says, what can I do to support the planet? Although individual responsibility is still very important, most of the world's emissions come from industry, agriculture, and construction. You don't say. Over half the world's industrial emissions can be traced back to just 25 companies. She doesn't list them all, thank goodness. None of them are responsible. I don't want them to be. This is called institutional responsibility as opposed to industrial responsibility, which we mentioned just earlier. So how can I use my autistic strengths to influence businesses, organizations, and governments? Well, good question. She's about to go into it. Number one, asking questions. We always try and figure out why things are the way they are. I asked my local shops how they choose their takeaway boxes. This is written in Britain, so that means, you know, the cartons you have for food for takeout. Drink break. There you go. They said it was a matter of cost, so I researched cheap recyclable option for them, and guess what? They switched. I should probably do that some next time I go out or to eat, whether it's just myself, which has been very rare these days, or I'm out with friends and family. I probably should do something like that in my community. Number two, a strong sense of justice. We are patient, persevere, and will shout loudly about important issues. I wish I was like you, sister. Part of me does anyway. For example, I roll over to Channel 4. That's a big TV network over there in Britain, with a group of young people asking them to host a party leaders' debate on the climate environmental crises before the 2019 election, which they did. Well, as far as I've gotten was being on social media and finding all these petitions or finding stuff in my email for all these environmental causes, you know, set standards for emissions or something like that. Vera goes on and says, hyper-focus and special interest research skills help me understand the key problems of the climate environmental crisis and explain them to others clearly. And number three, skills. Personally, I'm very good with Microsoft, so I volunteered a few hours of my time to help an activist group with their finance spreadsheets and make sign-up forms for a protest march. This was a good alternative to attending the march, as I would find it too noisy. Thank me, too, and I really don't want to get arrested. I get busted for that sort of thing, like breaking some kind of rule against public gatherings or making too much of a ruckus or some such. Vera wraps this up and says, my final message is to accept your autistic needs and not feel bad for them. You have to help yourself before you can help anyone else. I'm finally coming to grips with the fact that I need adjustments and not feeling guilty if they are not eco-friendly. For example, I sometimes need to commute by car to preserve my energy because public transport is too much for me. Well, I got to drive all the time because there's really nothing for public transport up my neck of the woods. Or that I must use higher temperatures on my washing because of my no-smell hypoallergenic detergent. You should try high-efficiency detergent there. I don't know about you. I do want to buy clothes and trinkets and fly sometime because life is for living. You know, can't argue with you there. Speaking of clothing, I'm just going to interject here with I'm trying to get into what I think about a more sustainable model of clothes shopping. I've gotten into thrifting. I went to a Salvation Army store one time and I got me a t-shirt because they have stuff for my size too, like double extra large, tall, 3X, that whole bit. I only bought one t-shirt because there wasn't much of a selection for tall and big fellows like myself. And the final paragraph, I invite you to join me and set aside an hour a month to think about how you can make your surroundings more sustainable. Maybe join a sustainability Facebook group. Participate in No Mow May. That's when people don't mow their gardens to give bees more wildflowers. Or write to your, well, this is Britain, so they say MP, Member of Parliament, so you probably write your congressman. I've done that and signed those petitions, let me tell you. Drink break number two. Well, I've certainly done that as well. So, like I said, I'll post the links to all these articles in the show notes. You can read them for yourself. Well, you will be interested and some would say pleasantly surprised to know that one of the greatest advocates of the climate crisis and how to mitigate the effects of same in recent years is a young woman from Sweden. Okay, well, she's a student. And her name is Greta Thunberg. And there's an article from Vox that the headline reads, Greta Thunberg became a climate activist not in spite of her autism, but because of it. And I'm going to try and Cliff's Notes this as best I can. The 16-year-old environmental activist who has become the stern face of a global movement of young people enraged by the idea that careless decisions made by their parents' generation will doom them to an apocalyptic future. If we haven't already in some sense. If I may interject. Greta said, you have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about are your fairy tales of money and eternal economic growth. There you go. Well, if you think for one second that Greta's words fell on deaf ears, well, you'd be dead wrong. This article, which was written in September of 2019, show that her words do have some meaning and she has some clout. After Thunberg shamed the members of the British Parliament in April 2019, following a successful lobbying effort by Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party and a wave of protest in London by activists calling themselves the Extinction Rebellion, I've heard of them through the dollop. That's Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds' podcast. British lawmakers declared the climate crisis an emergency on May 1st. They then signed a target of net zero greenhouse gas emissions into law. Well, earlier than that, August of the previous year, 2018, Thunberg began a one-woman student strike against climate change, standing alone with a distinctive hand-lettered sign on the steps of the Parliament building in Stockholm for 3 weeks. 6 months later, in March 2019, nearly 1.5 million young people in 100 countries worldwide followed suit, some even here in the United States. So I'm glad to see that autism does play a role in shaping, empower, and trying to empower those in high office to get off their duffs and help get a handle on this climate crisis thing before it's much too late. Everybody's got to do their part, at least in my bit anyway, at least my opinion. So there you have it right there. I didn't go too deep into the health effects of this crisis, but I want to give you the facts just the same and how those of us on the autism spectrum would view such a thing. All right, folks. We hope you found that last segment enlightening. Certainly a fresh perspective on current events. At least that's what I think. We'll get to the pod shout-outs, but before I do that, I just want to say, learn to work the saxophone. I play just what I feel. Drink Scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel. They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call Me Deacon Blues. Steely Dan, some more Yacht Rock. Really learned to appreciate that song in recent years. All right, folks, let's get to the pot shouts before we get on out of here. First up, GFA Live, Peter Winston and Keith Langston did a live watch of WWF Superstars episode that aired on January 14th, 1989. You can follow Pete and his podcast on Twitter at GF Allentown and check out his YouTube channel too. The sportscaster Steve Bennett had Joshua Richardson with the UEFA Champions League final. I wound up watching that. I'll tell you all about it in the next episode. You have been warned. And Steve also talked to Michael Thompson about a book in the early days of UFC. You can follow Steve on Twitter at sports_casters and on Instagram at thesportscasters. Royal Little's podcast, Chuck and Roxy welcomed Aaron Moss and Glenn Winters to the show. You can follow the podcast at Loyal Littles Pod on Twitter, on Instagram at The Loyal Littles Podcast. Anderson Center, 1-36. They talk with Gary Bassett and Joe Phelan of the Rhinebeck, New York Autism Supportive Community Committee. Certainly doing some great things down in that part of the Hudson Valley to make their businesses and whatnot more inclusive to those on the spectrum. God bless them for it. You can follow the Anderson Center on Twitter at Anderson Autism and on Instagram at Anderson Center for Autism. And finally, Lawrence Ross Show. Lawrence talked with Summer Monroe, a triathlete, and how's this for a left turn? A fetish model. Kinky. That's got to be interesting, I'll tell you. You can follow the host of the Lawrence Ross Show at Blind Lawrence across all your social media. Well, he's on Twitter. I don't know if he's on Instagram. Sorry if I messed up your social media there, Lawrence. Keep promoting this show. And speaking of which, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, etc. If you have a podcatcher and I'm not available, which means if you have Amazon Prime, you're SOL, bud, here's a little hack for you. Scroll down to the show notes, copy the URL for the feed, paste it onto your podcatcher, and you're good to go. If said podcatcher has rating and review capabilities, give me a 5-star rating and a good write-up. I certainly appreciate it, and thank you in advance for all of that. And that'll do it for episode 186 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. I certainly thank you for listening. I truly appreciate it. Never take the audience for granted. I'll talk to you on the next one, whatever that may be. And as always, and above all else, wait for it. Wait for it. Keep smiling. After 2 years, I still say, Otis lives. But Keep It To Yourself podcast has been a Camel Clutch production.
The Iron Sheik. But Sheik, we must give credit where credit is due. And I think sometimes a lot of us here in the World Wrestling Federation and fans alike are built guilty of perhaps forgetting your tremendous amateur background, second to no one.
You know, you're talking about 4th of July, you're talking about celebrity, you're talking about celebration in America. But my celebration was 1984, every human being saw it. I beat that hard to duty, and then the American WWF double-crossed me to bring the Hulk Hogan, not supposed to come here because the hard duty was hurt his shoulder. So anyway, I make the longest story short, Hulk Hogan, everybody know WWF double-crossed me. They didn't even give me a return match with Hulk Hogan. I have to get the Iranian lawyer to soon or late so I can get my belt back from Hulk Hogan. And another thing...
Your Iranian lawyer, you continue to talk about it, but to the best of my memories, yet I have not recalled you bringing up his name.
What are you talking about? First of all, you was not here. You don't know nothing about that. Second, everybody saw it. WWF double-crossed me to bring a Hulk Hogan. And another thing, everybody know it. Nikola Volkov and myself, we was a tag team champion. So anyway, we're not done with the tag team belt and also my single belt, Hulk Hogan. Cameraman, zoom it. I'm ready now.
Rest in peace to the man born Hossein Khosrow Ali Vaziri, better known to you and I as the Iron Sheik.